Alright, peace, y'all. What's poppin'? What's poppin', y'all? Salute to everybody that shows love to your boy. You heard? Make sure y'all tap in across the street. You heard? We got a lot of valid videos over there, man. Over 500 videos and counting. And we still going. And I'm gonna upload some stuff today for y'all in reference to the Rothschild. I'm gonna make that one free for the people. Salute to everybody on the Patreon, you heard? And then we got this one, how bootlegging destroyed the music industry. If you care, you care. But I dropped some jewels in this one. Make sure everybody tap in. You know what I'm saying? It's much appreciated. Everybody that shows love to your boy, I greatly appreciate y'all, man. We trying to grow the Patreon so eventually we can lead this platform alone. All right? Because this platform is shaky business. All right? So salute to everybody over there. Dang, did I have somebody to shout out real quick? Let me see real quick. Let me make sure I ain't had nobody I missed. Salute to my guy, Marcus, man. Salute Marcus Seneca, man. Thank you, man. He said another great live, Jay, as always, man. You know what I'm saying? Somebody left a comment yesterday, and, you know, it kind of made me realize, like, yo, you know, this is what I was usually doing this for. And they was like, yo, man, you saved my life. So I don't even be paying the haters no mind or nothing like that, but when people leave comments and tell me, like, yo, you know, I changed my ways of thinking and stuff like that, that means more than anything. So salute to everybody, man, out there that appreciates the content, the words of wisdom that I give them. Because I've been dropping jewels for about 5 to 6 years. And I notice a lot of people out here, they got my knowledge, but they don't act like it's from me. You know what I'm saying? They want to act like it's from somewhere else. But I've been dropping jewels for the world out here. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to let y'all know, you know what I'm saying? Everybody is much appreciated. Now, we're going to talk about this. I'm going to do a call-in show. I'm going to let the people call in and all of that. We're going to talk about this. If you saw the movie Sinners, I want to hear your viewpoint on it. Please don't spoil the movie. I haven't seen it yet. Don't spoil it, but I want to do a breakdown on what's very important when it comes to the religious aspect of it, right? So far, so good. People have been saying good things about the movie, so we're going to talk about it. But please do not ruin the movie for your boy, all right? That's all. If you start talking about, yo, this part, I'm going to hang up on you, son, straight up and down. Yeah, we're going to talk about some stuff. Now, salute to everybody on the, they said, got real hoodoo in it, Stanene said. Yeah, we're going to talk about that, too. We're going to talk about that, too, because I got some videos to show y'all, and it has a lot to do with religion. Now, if you are a very religious person and you go to church faithfully, it's going to open your eyes. I'm going to show y'all some stuff that may open your eyes and stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, I'm not really on that, you know, line of work, but I got to tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? I got to tell y'all the truth, man. They said, Jason Lara said, you're full of it, my guy. Stop the grifting. I don't grift. I don't. That word pertains to Caucasian people that follow politics, if you ask me. I don't follow politics, and I'm not a white person, so that don't really pertain to me. But I feel you, son. I feel you, but you's a clown. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just let you know that. Salute, Philip C. Scary folks saying you got to have a strong soul. All right, well, we're going to talk about it. Now, for all my people out there that want to sign record deals, DeLon Simpson, thank you for the super chat, but that number is wild. Thank you for the super chat. I appreciate you, my G. We're going to talk about this today. You know what I'm saying? But if y'all out there want to sign record deals, let me show y'all something real quick. And this is why you can't be too thirsty out there, y'all. Let me show y'all this real quick.
I'm Lil Kim's artist. Of course I asked her if Diddy really did it.
That is not funny. Why would you?
It's the reason why you mad at me, bro. Cause I came out with a beautiful blessing baby boy. Huh? Do all of that to me? Bro, she signed me. Some shit went wrong that she didn't like that had nothing to do with the music. I never disrespected her. No way in terms of business. I signed the contract. My lawyer told me not to sign the contract. I still signed the contract because I trusted her. And I was like, and then went wrong. She stopped communicating with me. And then a couple months later, I'm like, okay, well, it ain't gonna stop me from dropping music. I'm an artist. I want to drop music. And then no communication. Now she want to take my music down, bro? Out of here. Was reach out to me, be like, yo, you shouldn't be dropping music. And then I get my lawyer and we figure out how to end the contract. I didn't give a f- she had 65% of my shit. I don't care. That's fine. If my shit blew up one day and I had to owe her some money, I don't care. I give it to her. I got nothing but love for Shorty. That's it. What the f*** did I do to anybody, bro? In real life, what we talking about? Mind you, there's some shit I'd never say to Kim because there's a line I won't cross. I'll be honest, but I'll never cross that line.
Yeah, so apparently homeboy signed with Lil' Kim. He was the young dude that was in all her videos back in the day and all of that stuff. Now, from my understanding, right, like, I'm just gonna go over this, like, he was messing around with her and it backfired. He went and had a baby, you know, she couldn't have no more kids. He went and had a baby and yeah, it just went sour. But what I will say is this: don't throw your eggplant out there for a record deal, son. Like, that's another thing too. Dudes be doing this type of stuff for recognition, and we never even heard of his music. Somebody said Jewish Tat. Nah, that's the Seal of Solomon, son. Do your Googles on that. That's the Seal of Solomon. I broke all of this stuff down. Like, if you new to the channel, then, you know, I forgive you, but I broke all of this stuff down. The Seal of Solomon and the Star of David is one and the same, but at the same time, it's two different things. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, these people know what's up. Everybody in the industry know what's up. You know what I mean? So I don't feel bad for him. But, you know, you got to be careful out there signing them bogus deals. Why would you want to sign with Lil' Kim anyway? Like, just add, like, what benefits would you get from signing with Lil' Kim? Just ask yourself that. Like, you would sign with Lil' Kim? I mean, what? What? And you thought you was gonna blow up. You thought you was gonna blow up, though. You know what I'm saying? You thought you was gonna blow up. Now let's get into this, man. Let's get into this. So somebody said it has Jay, YouTube didn't alert me to the live. It's all right. It's all right. It's all good. You here now? It's all good. You here now, bro? You know what I'm saying? You got alerted somehow because you in here. You know what I mean? But it's all good. Now, let's talk about this real quick, right? So, I haven't seen the movie Sinners yet, but people are saying that it's a really good movie. And now, I found this guy, salute to Nightmare Files. He connected the dots to a scene that took place in the movie that related to Robert Johnson. All right, now going to the crossroads. Now, it's so crazy because a couple weeks ago, I talked about this, and somebody asked me, Jay, can you break down a Faustian bargain? And I explained to people what a Faustian bargain was and how people actually do these things. But I'm going to break down the history in all of this stuff without being disrespectful to people's religion or what you believe in. I'm going to break it down, and we're going to talk about this. All right, we definitely going to talk about it. And then I'm going to have people call in. If y'all not too spooked, I'm going to let the phone charge a little bit, but we're going to play this video real quick, though. Salute to everybody on the check-in. Everybody that hit the like button, I greatly appreciate y'all. Let's play this, though, man. Salute to, what's his name? The Nightmare Files. Nightmare Files on YouTube. Make sure y'all go subscribe to their channel. I don't know what they show, but I seen this and I wanted to share with y'all. Salute to Nightmare Files, y'all. Let's play this real quick.
Before the horror movie Sinners took audiences into a world of temptation, music, and shadows, there was Robert Johnson. In the movie Sinners, there's a character named Sammy. You know where the story is going if you've seen the movie. But Robert, he didn't come from a script. He wasn't dreamed up in a writer's room. He was real. And that might be the most terrifying part. This is the story that may have inspired the movie Sinners. Robert Johnson wasn't born a legend. He was born in Mississippi in 1911, a black boy in the Jim Crow South, surrounded by hardship, mystery, and secrets. His mother raised him alone after her husband fled town in disguise to escape a lynching. Robert grew up with dirt in his nails and songs forming in his chest. He didn't take to the fields like most. He found music. First on a diddly bow nailed to a shack wall. Later in the back rooms of juke joints, watching the early bluesman bend sorrow into sound. Then came love. At 17, he married a girl named Virginia, who was 14. They were just kids. And she became pregnant and Robert gave up music. He tried to do right and tried to work, but fate didn't care about good intentions. Virginia and their unborn child died during childbirth. By the time Robert arrived, they were buried. And when her devout family saw him show up carrying a guitar, they didn't just grieve, they cursed him. They called it devil's music and blamed him for the deaths. That moment, the guilt, the grief, all of it would change him forever.
Rudy Tormento said nobody created the blues. Well, some people believe that, you know what I'm saying? Some other people did downstairs. That's where they believe this stuff came from. You know what I mean?
After Virginia's death, Robert disappeared. Nobody knows exactly where he went or for how long. But when he returned, he wasn't the same person. He could play, not like before, and not like anyone else. It was as if his fingers knew things they shouldn't. As if every sorrow he'd ever felt had been pulled through his strings. Son House, a blues legend, said it best. Before, Johnson was just a kid bothering the crowd. Now, he sounded like two men playing at once. So the whispers started, the stories and the myths, that he had gone to the crossroads at midnight, that he made a deal, that the devil had taken his soul and left him a sound no one could explain. But there's a more grounded version of that story. Though, it's no less haunting. Some say Robert met a man named Ike Zimmerman, a skilled guitarist who took him in and taught him how to play. They say their favorite place to practice was a graveyard in Beauregard, Mississippi. But why there? Because it was quiet. Because nobody complained. Because the dead don't mind the blues. But in 1938, just a year after recording his first songs, Robert Johnson died. He was 27 years old. Some say he was poisoned by a jealous husband. Others point to syphilis. Some still say the devil came calling. Whatever the cause, the world lost him before it ever really had him. He left behind just 29 recorded songs. That's it. Those songs would ripple across generations, reshaping music forever. He was more than a legend. His lyrics were filled with omens. Hellhounds, hoodoo magic, powder on the feet, whispers of damnation. He sang about things most men were too scared to name out loud. But underneath the ghost stories and the guitar licks was a man. A man who loved, who lost, who tried to find meaning in a world that rarely offered any. A man who turned pain into poetry and sorrow into something beautiful and terrifying. But Sinners isn't Robert Johnson's story, but it walks the path he helped carve, and it's pretty similar. The film's darkness is themes of temptation, guilt, and trading pieces of their soul to feel something again. All of it echoes Johnson's life. A man who may have wanted greatness, but never expected the ghost that would come with it. He didn't ask to be a myth, but myths don't ask for permission. A few people also said, like Keith Richards, he said there's just something supernatural about Robert. And Eric Clapton also said, I had found a master. But maybe the most human thing about him was the hurt. And that hurt still plays every time you hear the blues. Is Robert Johnson part of the famed and unfortunate 27 Club, where influential entertainers passed away at 27 years old, like Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Kurt Cobain? It is said that every one of those people had more in common than dying at 27 years old. It was their dealings with the devil that can.
I told y'all about fortune bargains. I told y'all this. Some people don't think this stuff is real. They think it's all spookism. Bruh, I'm telling you, there are people out there that have a higher understanding of these things. And we gonna talk about it. We gonna talk about it. Because why is it that Hollywood or Hollyweird all does the same thing? You had the dude played in Snowfall, literally said, yo, he contacted the devil himself to play that role in Snowfall. And he had to go to therapy and all of that. I'm going to play some stuff, though. We're going to talk about it. Let's keep it going.
Connected them. Is Robert Johnson the inspiration behind the character Sammy from Sinners? Or is it pure coincidence? You be the judge. Let me know in the comments. This is the story that may have inspired the movie Sinners. But specifically, the character Sammy.
We don't know if that's owned by copyright, so we ain't gonna play it. We don't know if it's owned by copyrights. But let's keep it going, though. Now, I want to show y'all this real quick, if I may. Let's pull this up real quick, right? Let's pull this up. Because this was very interesting, too. Now, watch this, y'all. Watch this. It's getting real crazy. Watch this.
Having a good time. I'm going to take it a little bit further back in the story. You ladies get the very enviable task of being the dual love interest for these two, for Smoke and Stack. And I want to start with you because your character, Annie, I just feel like the way that she's the healer of the group. Could you talk a little bit about exactly what he told you as far as like what, you know, sort of like indigenous and African and, you know, former slave rituals that he was borrowing from when he sort of like crafted the mythology of your character?
Hoodoo is a real practice. And we had a hoodoo consultant and I spoke to hoodoo priestesses. It is very much grounded and real and practiced. And I think he's really treated it with as much respect and honor as possible, because I do feel like the Western world has shown us like a really dark side of voodoo, and I didn't know it was such a healing, loving, spiritual, connected practice. I feel so empowered and inspired by the people I've met in my research. She is very real, and that practice is very real. I guess the thing that isn't real is that is the vampires. You know?
Yeah,
you know?
I didn't want people thinking that the vampires were part of it. And like, you know, he's adding a little spice on top of it to sort of serve the genre. Haley, I want to bring it again on the other side, because I feel like the whole film is a bit of a fable. It's definitely leans into the idea that you can take, I think, a lot from all of the characters. And one of the things that fables have is you hear these archetypes. It's almost like, for me, like I play D&D and it's like, okay, she's the cleric and we have the warrior. We have like everybody sort of like battling together. I'd be curious if he talked a little bit about what your character is supposed to represent in this community, because I feel like there's a lot of layers to what she means, not just to her love interest, but to the entire community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our conversations started before having read the script to the very last take of the very last scene I shot. And Mary's a huge representation of love and community and acceptance and finding a way.
Isn't it ironic that the Caucasian woman is a representation of love and peace and, you know, like just like they say in the dictionary, what the color white represents, purity. And then the black woman that plays the other love interest is, you know, she's the dark one. It's dark. It's always some type of, you know, weird, you know, subliminal messaging behind these movies, man. Like I said, I haven't seen it yet. Y'all ready for me to warp y'all mind? Y'all ready? Yeah, I don't think y'all ready yet. Y'all ready for me to warp y'all mind? Cause I want to warp y'all mind real quick and throw a little people off. Cause I'm gonna get crazy with this. I'm gonna get crazy. But let me start here, y'all. Let me start here. Are y'all ready for this? Let me show y'all something real quick. I played this a couple months ago, but I play it again just for the sake.
Plan. I didn't have an escape plan either. So yeah, like every day was just going into this place, and I just tried to stay there as long as I could. And then when it was all over, I think just being in that kind of that mind state, that real unapologetic, you know, just real, like, you know, whatever all the time, kind of kept it caught up with me. And I got a little, you know, a little depressed. It was tough for me for a minute, you know.
Really?
Just readjusting to being around the people that care about me, getting that love that I shut out for a long time. Like, I shut out love. I didn't want love and affection. You know, I wanted to be in this lonely place as long as I could in order to kind of capture the essence of what Eric, you know, Stevens was, what Killmonger was. So when we wrapped the film, you know, I'm like, in my mind, I was like, okay, cool, go back to, you know, regular life, get back to LA, be cool. But it was a little tough for me at first to kind of like accept.
It was hard just to lay him down
and
be done with it.
Yeah.
How did it take you a while?
It took me, you know, I mean, I don't really know exactly when I came out of it, but, you know, I went to therapy, you know what I'm saying? I started talking to people, started unpacking a little bit.
I find that so interesting because I think the body doesn't know the difference. I remember having this conversation with a famous actor once about Anthony Hopkins. I was saying, Anthony Hopkins, I feel for you because, you know, all the stuff you're taking in, you do so well. And he said, I used to not think about it, but as I've gotten older, I do think about it, because he was saying that he had just done a film and he had said to the director he was going to do one wide shot and one close up because he had to have a heart attack because he didn't want to put his body in that state too many times.
Yes.
Because your body doesn't know the difference when you get yourself into that state. And
Yeah. You can't get out of that. They tap into this stuff and can't get out of it. Queen Lolita, what's poppin'? She said, George Buddy Guy was born and raised in Letchworth, Louisiana. He was the first of five children to parents Sam and Isabel, who were sharecroppers as a child. Guy would pick cotton for $2.50. See, Queen Lolita, please don't spoil the movie. Okay, I don't know if that was in the movie, but don't spoil it. Somebody asked if this was representation of Robert Johnson. They saying that has something to do with it, that there's some type of connection to it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to check it out I think you should watch the movie. And then Tay said, I think you should have watch the movie and then you'll have a full understanding of everything. This is true. Now, let me warp your brains a little real quick here. All right. Now, if you are a devout Christian, okay, I want you to brace yourself because there are connections to a lot of these things in the Christian community, right? And I want to show y'all these two specific clips without being disrespectful. Please don't bash anybody in the chat or whatever. You know, I just want to get this information out there, all right? So I'm going to show y'all this. I was holding on to this clip for a long time because I didn't think y'all was ready for this, okay? I didn't think y'all was ready for this. But the truth cannot be held. All right? The truth cannot be held. Let's start with this here. Let's start with this here. Salute the LT Huck. He said live. He said live. Nah, I ain't watching the movie live. Let's get it popping though.
In Hoodoo, we may wear white.
It's Hoodoo Heritage Month, and we are starting off with Bishop Charles Harrison Mason, the founder of the Grand Old Church of God in Christ. Bishop Mason was a prolific preacher, teacher, healer, trailblazer, the founder of the largest African-American Pentecostal denomination of the 20th century, and a root worker, which is often disputed but never quite refuted. He was photographed on a couple of occasions, as you can see here, with his roots and his tools, which he incorporated into his ministry. There's even a shrine, an altar, one might say, in Mason Temple, where his remains are to this day. When Bishop Mason founded the Church of God in Christ and ultimately split off from his original co-founders, he was ostracized because of his exuberant style of worship and integration of the Pentecostal form of ecclesia. Many people hone in on is his work around bringing forth the doctrine of infilling of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. But what most people don't recognize is that his intentionality around the form of worship, around the singing, the falling out, the praising, that had nothing to do with the Azusa Street Revival. And that had everything to do with his background as parents who were former slaves, and that he believed that that form of worship that he had experienced traditionally needed to be incorporated in how black folk approach their religion. Many people do not realize that Hoodoo and the black church are inextricably linked for this reason. It is not about what others gave us, but it was always about imparting and embracing what we are, who we are, and what we come from. Laying on of hands, deliverance, praying through, speaking in tongues, moving out of the way so that spirit can have its way. That is who we are as a people, and that did not start here in the Americas. Another thing that Bishop Mason was convinced and convicted of was that consecration was necessary for elevation. Holiness had to do with being prepared and set aside for a specific use. Hoodoo is a tradition that was birthed by our ancestors and leveraged in order for us and their legacies to be able to survive. Hoodoo is not in competition or in opposition with the black church. Hoodoo shares a rich legacy with the church. And this Hoodoo Heritage Month, I celebrate and I embrace all of who we are. We are a rich people with a rich heritage. Happy Hoodoo Heritage Month.
Bruh. Did y'all hear that? So when you look at, all right, let's be clear here. And this I'm gonna be respectful to people's religion and, you know, what they believe in and stuff like that. But the originality of a lot of things that I'll just say for me, I'll speak from my perspective, what I grew up on, right? Because I was raised in the Baptist church, and there was a lot of shouting and rolling around on the floor and speaking in tongues and carrying on and all of this stuff, right? In the church. That was all a doctrine from these same practices. You got to understand, it was all connected. So, like, religion, you know, religion, I respect people's religion, but when I look at certain things, I realize, like, why is it all connected? And I'm going to turn on the phone lines because I want to hear y'all, I want to hear y'all curse me out. I do. I want to hear y'all curse. Jay, you wrong? I'm just saying, when a person, you know, you got to realize something, and I'm going to just say this. When a person would go to church, I would go to church, right, as a young man, I was always in church, I was raised in church, my mom brought me every Sunday, right, and I would see these people be, you know, speaking in tongues, and I couldn't understand what they were saying, you know, and I thought to myself as I got older, you know, when you allow a spirit to come into you, you're allowing some form of possession. And they would just always say, oh, the Holy Spirit got into them. That was a form of possession. Now, in my personal opinion, I don't believe in using any spirit as letting your body use it as a vessel. I don't believe in that. But acknowledging spirits, yes, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? But just allowing a spirit to come into you and take over your body, you don't know what you're doing with that stuff. So whether people are doing this or whatever, it's a thin line. Okay, it's a thin line. Now I'm gonna play this other clip and then I'm gonna turn the phone lines on, because I want to hear y'all point of view on this stuff as well. And I'm, like I said, I'm not, you know, speaking ill on anybody's religion. If this is what you're into or whatever, you know, that's your practice. But I want to show the connection to a lot of these things because it's very real. All right. Now, I'll tell y'all a story real quick. So I was probably like, I want to say maybe 11 to 12 years old. Right. It's funny now that I look back at it. It's funny to me. I laugh at it. I'm just like, man, this is crazy. So I went to church, right, and the pastor man called me up to the front of the pulpit, like, yo, come up to the front. And I went and got prayed on, and then, you know, I'm seeing everybody else fall out on the floor. So the pastor man come up to me, and he put his hand on my head and tried to push me down. Like, I felt him try to push me down, and I'm fighting against him pushing me down. I was not going to the floor, son. And then eventually he just moved along to the next person. But I wasn't faking it like everybody else. You get what I'm saying? Like, I just went up there for prayer and I felt him pushing my head. He was pushing my head down like, yo, wait, yo, what are you doing? I'm not falling on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought people, but I, as a kid, I'm thinking people really was getting touched by this dude and just passing out. So I didn't understand why I wasn't falling down. I'm like, I'm not, like, why am I not falling down? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I didn't understand that. That's a real story, son. That's a real story. I promise you, I tell you no lies. I tell you no lies. He was pushing my head back, and I'm like, I'm not falling. You know what I'm saying? I'm not falling. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to roll on the floor. Yeah, see, somebody said pause. Yeah, pause on that. But I was not falling. Now, let me show y'all this real quick, man, before I turn the phone lines on real quick, man.
In hoodoo, we may wear white for a variety of reasons. We wear white to usher. We wear white for Sunday. We may wear white after a spiritual bath. We may wear white for ceremony. We may cover our heads in white to protect our energy, to protect our crown. There's a variety of reasons that we may wear our white. You may have seen it when the church mothers in the American South wore their all whites to church, dressed to the nines, with their heads covered, with their big church hats. Yeah, they were hoodoos too. White is for protection. It absorbs negative energy. On this day in Hoodoo Heritage Month, we wear white to honor our traditions. As always, we show gratitude to Daisy for creating the calendars that we follow for Hoodoo Heritage Month.
Isn't it ironic how a lot of this stuff is all connected? Even when we talk about like righteous religions and stuff like that, it's so ironic that a lot of this stuff is all connected. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes me believe that when I see a lot of this stuff, you know, where did it all derive from? What is the history? Because we can read books, but we will never really know the history. Marcus Dobson said, Granny finna slap somebody after this live. Yo, listen, bruh. Isn't that crazy, though? Isn't that crazy how everything's connected? And I said this before, right? And a lot of people got upset with me. I said that when people join witchcraft, all right, whether people know this or not, they go through the whole baptism thing too. You get what I'm saying? They go through that whole baptism thing where they go out into the lake and do the same thing. Same exact process. It's no different. You know what I'm saying? It's no different. It's just so crazy to me when I look at a lot of this stuff and I realize the connection to it. Now, I'm not defuting anybody's religion or what your preference may be. I'm telling y'all, please don't get offended. You have to be strong-willed to understand that this stuff is very much connected. We only going off of what our parents told us. We don't really know the history. We may think we do, but we don't really know the history. I'm going to turn the phone lines on. I'll take a few calls if I may. The number's on the screen, 917-945-5265. If you saw the movie Sinners, please do not spoil it for your boy. I may want to still go out and watch this movie just to have my own information and see where it's going. Peace, brother. How you doing? You on the line.
Hey, what's up, Jay?
What's going on, man? How you feeling today?
I'm good. Yeah, I was just calling to talk about the movie Sinners. It was good, but I'm not going to reveal it all to you. And
thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate that.
But yeah, all I'm going to say is, like, he talking about music and what music brings. Like, you know how music can sometimes change your mood.
Right.
And change your attitude.
Right.
That's what I think the moral of the story is. And it's like, and if you think about it, it's hard to really talk about it without giving parts of the movie. You're going to have to check that shit out.
Okay, it's good, though. If you can, all right, just give me a basis, but don't tell me the ending. Like, don't give me no real parts.
I won't tell you the ending, but basically, the lead vampire... I'm not gonna tell you the end. I'm just gonna tell you just a tiny little bit. The lead vampire who creating all the vampires, he's from hundreds of years ago from Ireland.
Okay.
And he loves music.
Okay.
He loves music. So basically he loves music and he heard his voice. He heard Sammy's voice and heard his music. Him playing the drums. So I think of it like it's like the the white folks in the industry that you expose.
Right. Right.
The white folks in the industry, they know what music does. You know how some music can make you cry. Some music can make you
frequencies.
Turn up.
Frequencies, right?
Yes, 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 brother. Yep. Uh-huh. That and shit, basically, and then it's like the evil vampire likes music and all that. And he could play music himself. His music is good too.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not trying to spoil. I'm not fault. Matter of fact, I'm just gonna stop talking about it then. But anyway, just go check out the movie, man.
Okay. Is it worth seeing?
Yes, it's worth seeing. And then it basically you'll see, man. It's worth seeing.
Okay,
it's
let me ask seeing. You this before you go. Does it have any pertainment to the religious aspect? Like, is there any connections with that? If I may ask.
Yeah, kind of, because there's a part in the scene where Coogler, the guy who made the movie, the black dude who made the movie.
Right.
He shows how music goes across the world.
Okay.
Like all type of religions of music happens and what it does. Because even in the, like, shit, I can't really talk because I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate you, though, man. At least giving me something. I thank you, man.
Yeah. Like I said, music is like, that's why they call it the devil. Music is the devil's stuff. That's his playground. Because he used to play it in heaven.
Right.
Or that's the story that they say when he got casted out.
Right.
So that's the story that they say that he used to play that shit. So he's very good at it.
Right.
People who are good at it, they like, it could channel emotions, it channels vibrations, all that. So it's like, it's real deep, and it's a good movie. It's definitely a good movie. Oh yeah, I'm gonna shout out my Instagram.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, because I do gematria, and then it's a gematria code into how he got how the dude released the movie.
Okay,
or whatnot.
Okay, go ahead. Shout your Instagram out.
Yeah, it's at J_man_9019.
Okay, I appreciate you, man. Make sure y'all go follow him on Instagram to get the gematria breakdown on the movie, man. I appreciate you for calling in, G's.
Yeah, and also I got some stuff about Shannon Sharp and the Kanye shit, like why he said all that and why Shannon is getting sued on the day he got sued and all that. It's all about the numbers, along
man.
With the Pope.
Okay, alright, man.
It's all about gematria into it. All
right, man. Well, I appreciate you. Thank you for calling in, bro.
All right. Take care.
All right. Yeah, I ain't want him to spoil the movie. Man. Peace, you on the line. What's popping? Talk to me.
Hey, Jay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How you doing?
Yo, it's Jacqueline G from up Queens.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, so according to the first caller, this sounds similar to Queen of the Damned, because you got to remember when Lestat went into that place and he was playing that violin, he woke up Akasha, who was the mother of the vampires.
Wait, so you saying the movie Sinners is pertaining to the Queen of the Damned?
No. I never saw it, but from going back from what the first caller called in with the music.
Right.
It sounds similar to Queen of the Damned, because in Queen of the Damned, when Lestat was playing the violin, he woke up Akasha. She was attracted to music.
Is that the movie that Aaliyah was in?
Yep.
See, now, I never saw that movie. I didn't want to see her in that light, honestly. But I know that she did some interviews speaking about how she, you know, couldn't get out of that, you know, tapping into that energy. She couldn't get out of that.
Right. You know what I mean? But it's something, I mean, like I said, I never saw Sinners, but from what the caller was telling you, it's some similar things to that. Like, they did say music is the quote-unquote devil's music.
Right. Yeah, because it does, like I do these videos all the time, and I talk about how, you know, frequencies and, you know, there is a certain supernatural power behind music. So if the movie is pertaining to that, you know, we can't ignore those signs, because that's very important. You know what I'm saying? And the guy broke it down. I played the video earlier, and he talked about how it was connected to, like, people like Robert Johnson. And, you know, Robert Johnson was a prime figure of rock and roll. She just left. Okay, she ended the call. All right. Peace, you on the line. What's popping?
They all wrong.
She said they all
wrong.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you the movie. This is Tay.
Okay,
like,
what's popping, Tay?
I'm just going to say this. All right, so the religious as part of it, a part of it is the beginning of it, they do start off with a church.
Okay.
And then in the middle of it, they start off talking about, like, I mean, it's some references to voodoo and hoodoo and all of that. So that's kind of like how that's tied in.
Right.
Religious part of it. As far as the music part, it was talking about, like, showing how it blues inspire all genres of music through the decades of the years, from the beginning to the end.
Right.
I mean, to, like, now, from hip hop to pop to R&B. So it kind of make reference to that. And it makes reference also to the cultural aspect of it, from Africa, from, and the man, I think Ryan Coogler is Jamaican. He's not a Black American.
What?
I don't know if that matters.
I ain't know that.
He's Jamaican American.
Man, we can't have nothing, man. I ain't gonna say nothing crazy.
and I'm gonna tell you too. I'm not gonna tell you the movie, but the Native Americans play a part in this too.
Really?
Because they were also, they knew what those vampires were. They were also chasing them.
Okay.
Yeah. So they and the KKK is in it. It has a lot of I want to say like parts where it show you like where people like we got a tendency of Black people of always wanting to integrate everybody, like letting everybody be a part of something that we have and then they ruin it.
Yeah.
It played parts on that too.
Yeah.
They had Asian people in it.
I was just gonna go there and ask you about that because now I've been seeing a lot of clips about how the Asian people have migrated from like places like Mississippi and all of that. So I don't want you to spoil it. I don't want you to spoil it for the people out there that still want to see it. But is that a main factor as well in the movie? If you don't mind me asking.
So I'm not from the South. I'm from Philly.
Okay.
But from what I'm hearing from people, they saying that it wasn't a lot of Asian people in the South like that. It was very few.
Right.
But it wasn't enough for them to even put that in the movie. Mm. So that's something that Ryan Coogler just added. But I did hear from somebody else that at one point other people went and serviced Black people. So the Asian people that were in the South, if they had any businesses, they were the ones who did service Black people. So that's why Black people would go to them for businesses.
But
from my understanding, it wasn't even like a big population of Asian people in the South at that time.
Right.
Especially not in no Mississippi.
Yeah, I was just about to say that too.
Delta on top of that.
The Delta and everything. All right, so before I go to the next caller, right? Do you think it's like very reasonable that we go and see it? Because I see a lot of people have been saying, you know, on TikTok, Instagram, saying, oh, don't go watch it. It's demonic and all of this stuff. Do you think people should get... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. All right, I seen the movie. I didn't go to the movie to see it. I wasn't paying.
Okay.
However, but I watched it twice.
Okay.
And it's not how everybody trying to hype it up to be. Now that's just my personal opinion. Someone might want to fight me after this, but it's not all like that. It's a little cute action packed movie, little horror in it, but they're making it seem like it's gonna change Black history for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have been seeing the clips here and there. People have been saying like, oh, don't go see it; it's demonic and all of that stuff.
I'm gonna tell you what movie really had me shook up. I don't have to say had me shook up, but was scarier than this.
Which one?
Was that one that was on Netflix.
With, Monique and all of that?
Yeah.
Oh, see, yeah. They said they tapped into some stuff to do that movie, and then Lee Daniels' sister died. That was crazy, too.
Exactly.
That was crazy.
So that one, I mean, if for real, you want to get spiritual, that was more like on some other stuff to me than this was. But, yeah. I mean, it was a good movie. I'm not going to say it was a bad movie.
Okay.
It's just not hyped up like that. That's why I said just see the movie for yourself. I wasn't trying to be smart.
Right.
I just, you know what I mean? Because people gonna come here and they gonna give their interpretations and they gonna hype it up like, oh, it was the
yeah.
I think people talking about, oh, I gotta pray.
Yeah,
I'm like,
come on,
man, it's not that serious.
I see what you mean. All right. Well, thank you.
Jack.
I appreciate you for calling in. Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right.
Nah, because I've been seeing some stuff. People been saying, yo, don't go watch it. It's demonic, you know. And I wouldn't lead people to go and watch this stuff if it's not, you know. Beneficial. Salute, man. You on the line. What's popping?
Hey, how you doing, Jay, man?
What's popping, man?
Hey, I was just want to touch on that story you said about how you were in church that one time. they put their hands on you. Yo, it's funny. That happened to me 2 times before, man.
No lie. So, see, I thought it was just me, but okay, talk about your experience if you may, man. Well, go ahead.
Well, what's crazy was that my whole family was there. It was me, my mom, and my grandmother. Okay. And we're at this like special church. And it's a white church now, but I'm half white, half black. So
okay.
I go to both churches.
Right.
But we in there and they're touching, he's touching everyone. And they're just falling out, right? I'm like, oh, come up there with me. So I'm like, all right, yeah. I go up there. I'm about like 13, 14. And the guy looks me in my face and says, you don't want to fall, do you? I said, I mean, no, not really. So he puts the head on me and like, he tried to push me down, but I don't go down. That's the white church.
Right.
Now, let me tell you what happened in the black church.
Okay.
Black church, you know, I'm in there with all my boys, like, you know what I'm saying, from school, and we're in there, whatever, and like, everyone's falling out, you know, left and right.
Right.
And the guy puts his hand on my head, and like, he's trying to push me down. People come behind me to catch me. And I just start like, you know, walking back so I don't fall.
Right.
I tell you, we're running around the whole church, me trying to keep my balance and get this guy from pushing me down on the ground, man. Like, you know, for the front of the church, the altar to the exit door, man.
Man, listen, man. I've experienced that, and you know, for a long time that never left my head. And you know what it did for me as I got older? It showed me that, you know, a lot of this stuff that we see is, I don't know if people are doing it for a reputation or to be like followers. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Can I ask you, like, did you ask like your parents like why they fell, or like did you ask them like how
well,
they fall,
but I'm
like
gonna be
that?
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. You know, my peoples, they never went up there and fell out. Like I never seen, okay, you know what I'm saying, my peoples fall out or none of that stuff. It was always other people, but I do remember going up there and seeing these other individuals fall out. And, you know, you go to your parents or your grandparents and ask them, like, why are people falling out? And they tell you, oh, they caught the Holy Ghost. That's all they could tell you. You know what I'm saying? But it was never, you never could really understand that. So I kind of kept that in the back of my mind, you know what I'm saying, for the longest time. And, you know, it's crazy that a lot of people actually can actually, you know what I'm saying, relate to what I went through. It's, you know what I'm saying, like, I feel good about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, all right, man, I just calling in, man. Nice talking to you, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you for calling in, bro.
All right, peace.
I mean, for real, I you know, I don't like to make people feel bad, but you know what I'm saying, I did experience that. I've only seen other people fall out, but it looks scripted, SRT Bully said. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Tay, they on Tay head. She talking about, I'm not wrong. They going in on her right now. See, she did say that they was going to get her. She brought that on herself. They said, Rel Lamar said, most horror movies aren't scary anymore. Well, I haven't seen one that was really scary in a while, but people have been saying that this movie is scary, so I don't know, man. Peace, you on the line. Talk to me.
All right, hello.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Peace.
Excuse my voice.
No, go ahead, man.
I feel a little sick, but I'm more calling about what you said about the churches and how everything is mixed together.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk about it.
Yeah, so I just think it's important for people to remember that the first version of the modern church started in like Syria and Europe and Rome and basically where Babylon was moving.
So all right, can you clarify that? Because you can't just say like something. You just can't say something.
No, that's fine.
Go ahead.
Like, even in the Bible, they talk about it, how Paul and they had to go visit these first versions of the modern churches that were in Assyria, like Rome and all these places.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a surprise that you see that it's kind of a mix of these things. Like, we already know that.
Right.
The modern church is still kind of kissing up to the Pope.
Right, you know, right.
You know, stuff like that. And like, even in the past, Rome was the one deciding, like, oh, let's mix in these holidays.
That's true.
Even the Bible talks about how people go drink from the cup of, like, all these mixed abominations. You know, and we've been drinking it, so, like, as the world, so it's not a surprise. I just want to remind people that even in the Old Testament, they weren't doing church in the way that we did it, like how it is now, you know.
Right. So it was more like a fellowship thing back in those times, right?
Yeah, it was more of a fellowship. You know, people had a closer relationship to God themselves. They weren't looking for one man to tell them how to interact with God all the time. You know, it's when they had certain problems, then they would go to their spiritual leaders,
right?
Like a Moses,
right?
But it wasn't, oh, my pastor told me, you know, this is okay now, so I'm gonna do it. Like, that's how the modern church is now. More, it's like, oh, you look for a pastor that makes you comfortable,
right?
And you know, I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. We had a small church, so I know this whole thing,
right?
But I just wanted to kind of put on that a little bit.
Yeah, you know? Man, that's kind of deep that you brought that up, because most people don't really know the history of church. They know that, you know, we all can quote Bible scriptures, and you know, but knowing the history of how church became and fellowship and, you know, how a lot of these things became indoctrinated. And don't get me wrong, I'll be honest with y'all. My personal opinion, I think a lot of this stuff has been infiltrated with a lot of other cultures. And some people take a little bit of this and add it to that, a little bit of this and add it to that. And then you get all of these different denominations of a religion. You get what I'm saying? Of a specific religion.
I agree with you.
I think
obviously there's truth. You know, there, in my opinion, there's one true God. I believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. But like, obviously, what they believed in, the strong beliefs they had in the past, like the church nowadays is kind of like making things more okay on the morality scale. If that makes sense.
They're
okay with more of the things, and that goes into the cup of abominations I was talking about.
Right. Yeah, because looking at all of these pastors now, it's like they being outed everywhere, so you don't really know, and more people are turning away from the church because of this. You get what I'm saying?
It's also because they had faith in the pastor, but not actually the truth or God. They didn't actually search out for God. They went for, you know, a lot of people go to church because, you know, their friends do it, or it's like, you know, it's kind of popular to be a Christian now or to be spiritual.
That's true. That is true. That's true. It's a fad.
So, yeah. When you put your faith in man, you always going to be disappointed eventually. So,
man, dog. Man. Yo, you ain't never lied. You ain't never
lied,
man.
That's all I want to call about.
Thank you, man. Know, I appreciate you for calling in.
All right. Thank you for all your messages. I'm going to keep watching. Take care.
Thank you, bro.
All right.
Nah, that's real, though. Salute Tyrese McDonald. Thank you for the super chat. He said, peace and blessings, Jay. Enjoy your Friday. I most definitely will, man. I might check that movie out this evening. Go and see it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I might check it out, man. Let me read some people in the chat real quick, man. Read some people in the chat. Hey Jay, Tree, what's poppin'? She said, hey Jay, keep doing the Lord's work. We need more strong men of God. 100%. Absolutely. Salute the Tree. You know, I just want people to have an understanding of a lot of this stuff. And, you know, I saw that clip earlier, and it was in reference to the connection of Robert Johnson, right? And I haven't saw the movie yet, so I don't know. But I was watching a few clips, and they were saying how, like, you know, there was a part in the movie that pertained to Robert Johnson going to the crossroads. And I remember somebody, you know, asking me to talk about fortune bargains and all of these things. And it just dawned on me. I was like, yo, you know what? This is a real popular topic right now. And I think a lot of people are unaware of this stuff. And some people may call it spookism. Some people may say, yo, this is all spooky talk or whatever, Jay. It's not, none of this stuff is real. But you have to understand, there are people in position, right? Forget about the movies and all that stuff. There are people in positions that understand that there is supernatural powers that actually work out here. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't real, we wouldn't be under control by these lizards, okay? By these reptilian people. We are forced to pay for things that are supposed to be free. Why? Because they've casted a spell on all of us. So you got to just think about that. You understand? There are reptilian individuals that understand this power and that are using this against us all. Whether we know it or not. You know what I'm saying? We may not want to accept it, but, you know, there are pastors, there are politicians, there are actors, musicians, There are a lot of people that understand this spiritual power and they use it against the general public. Right? Why? Because it's easy to control the masses. You understand what I'm saying? It's easy. Watch the TV series V. It's on Tubi. I don't know. They didn't show him going to the crossroads, Elijah said. They just showed him perform in a car and in that party. I don't know. Don't spoil the movie for me, man. Church part, so happy we part of it. Yeah, man. Let me see. Salute Rudy Tormento. He said, once again, Robert Johnson talked a lot. That one that did sell his soul for sure is Tommy Johnson. He's not famous, but his songs are. Tommy Johnson, I guess they're saying, is the original person that went to the crossroads. I'm not familiar with Tommy Johnson's story, but I do know about Robert Johnson. You know what I'm saying? But that's kind of ironic. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody, it's always somebody taking credit for something. You know what I mean? Salute Queen Lolita. He said, Rel Lamar said, there is not one thing that says Kogler is Jamaican. Well, I don't want to get into that. I'm just, you know, I was just being facetious when I said that. Like, you know, but I don't want to get into who created the movie. If the movie is worth seeing, then, you know, by all means, you know me, I'm gonna wait till it come on the stick. You hear me? I'm not sitting in no movie theaters. BB the Great said, I'm going tonight. Want to do a follow-up if you go? I mean, yeah, well, I probably, you know, I don't know. Depends. I'll talk about it. If not, you know what I'm saying? It'll be for you guys to go and check out. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't too spooky, but Tay called in. She said, like, you know, that movie with Monique and Lee Daniels and all of that stuff, that was more sinister than this movie. You know what I mean? And then now you got, what's that guy named? Key and Peele and Marlon Wayans doing a movie about them doing satanic rituals and football and all of this stuff. It's a lot going on in Hollywood, bruh. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot going on. I saw the clip the other day, Marlon Wayans acting in this movie with Key and Peele, and he had to perform some type of rituals to get to the top to be this famous football player. It's out there. I don't know the name of the movie. It's called Him or something like that. I think it's called Him or something. But, you know, these people, let me just be honest with y'all. They're not hiding this stuff no more. They're not hiding it. You understand what I'm saying? They realize that people are more attracted to this type of stuff than usual. The fact that you would name a movie Sinners would attract more sinners to watch it. Isn't that ironic? It's crazy how they do things. You know, for people to go out and say, yeah, let's go watch a movie called Sinners. You know what I'm saying? It's real talk, but they're not hiding nothing. They ain't hiding nothing, man. Jay, they said, Hawkins was an opera singer and folks didn't want him to succeed. All right, let me see. Want to shout some people out. Marlon acts clueless, but he knows it all. Facts. Yeah, he do. He do. He definitely do. Cat Williams coming to Chicago. I think he's going to be speaking on a lot of topics in the industry as he usually does. He knows too much just to be joking about this stuff, and he never gets outcasted. I feel like he treads on a thin line with a lot of his information, right? Because here's the thing, right? I'm going to just be honest with y'all, and I'm going to leave it here. You can out, you know, you can out and tell a bunch of these people's secrets and speak about certain organizations, but you will never tell the real deeper meaning behind this stuff. And that's what I think Cat Williams does. He plays on a thin line. He's very smart. Don't get me wrong. He's very smart. But he plays on a thin line. He's like, I won't reveal what I've witnessed, but I'll tell the people I've been to these parties and this person belongs to this group and this group and they do this. But He does that very cleverly. You know what I'm saying? He's very clever with that. Somebody said he's control opposition. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I just feel like he, you know, a lot of people that's in this industry, they, you know, and I'll be honest with y'all, like I say all the time, a lot of people that's in this industry, they get to that point of success and they realize that it's not worth it. And then when they realize that it's not worth it, they want to come back downstairs with the regular folk. And when they do that, you know, you have them a lot of these people telling these stories and saying certain things that took place, but they never tell the actual facts of what's really going on. Okay? See, a person like me is blackballed. I can't, they would never let me in their inner circle. Never. And I'm okay with that. I don't want to be around these people. I don't trust them. They might put some crazy stuff in my dinner plate or my drink or something. I don't know. I don't trust them. You know what I'm saying? But always remember that, y'all. Like, it's a thin line. They said he got an owl under his lip. He's with them too. Ali said, AI said, yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to tell y'all. All right, y'all. I just want to chop it up with y'all real quick, man. Salute to everybody out there. You know what I'm saying? I greatly appreciate everybody for tapping in. If it's something to talk about, I'll be back. I'm doing a live stream. What time is it? I'm going to do a live stream later on this evening on the second channel. That'll probably be available on the Patreon for my free people. We're going to break down some stuff. I got some stuff to show y'all. So it's going to be very informative, you know what I mean? Make sure I definitely will show y'all love. I've been on for an hour, man, showed y'all some stuff. So if you catch the replay, just leave your comments below. You know what I'm saying? Like the video, subscribe, share it, whatever you got to do. If you get upset, that's all right. I will answer your question. Peace and blessings, y'all. Stay safe out there. I love y'all all. All right, God bless y'all. Peace.